You know that moment. You've been holding short for 10 minutes on a summer afternoon. The sun is cooking the ramp, and your engine just feels off. The idle gets a little rough. Maybe the RPMs drift a touch. You tap the gauges, you lean forward like that's going to help, and you wonder if something's wrong. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today, I want to talk about something that doesn't get nearly enough attention in primary training. Fuel system variability in piston engines, what's normal, what's not, and why understanding the difference could save you from an unnecessary maintenance bill, or more importantly, from ignoring something that actually matters. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins, built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com, so let's get into it. The Association of Aircraft Pilots and Owners, or AOPA, published a piece this week that caught my eye. It's about those small, subtle shifts in engine behavior that most of us notice, but few of us truly understand, and I think it's one of the most practical pieces of pilot education I've read in a while. Here's what you need to know. Your piston engine is not a digital device. It is an analog, mechanical thermodynamic system that responds to its environment in real time. And that means its behavior changes, sometimes noticeably, and those changes are often completely normal. Let's start with the scenario most pilots have experienced. The long taxi on a warm day, you're sitting there at idle, maybe number 4 for departure, and you notice the engine isn't running as smoothly as it was during your run-up. Maybe it's a slight roughness. Maybe the tachometer is showing 50 RPM lower than usual at idle.
What's happening? Well, think about what's going on under that cowling. Your engine is air-cooled. At idle power on a hot ramp, you've got minimal airflow through the cowling. Engine temperatures are climbing. The fuel in your lines and in the carburetor bowl, if you're carbureted, is getting warmer too. Warmer fuel means lower density. It also means a greater tendency toward vapor. You're not necessarily getting vapor lock, but the fuel charge entering each cylinder isn't exactly the same as it was when you first started up in the cool of the morning. On a fuel-injected engine, the same physics apply, just in slightly different ways. The fuel distribution system is delivering fuel through individual injector nozzles, and as temperatures change, the viscosity and density of that fuel changes too. The result is the same, small variations in how each cylinder fires. And you feel that as a subtle roughness or an RPM shift. Now here's where it gets interesting and where a lot of pilots either overreact or underreact. These variations are designed into the system. Your engine manufacturer knows this happens. The tolerances in your fuel system, whether it's a Marvel Schiebler carburetor or a Continental fuel injection system, account for a range of operating conditions. That range includes hot days and long taxis. But, and this is important, there's a difference between normal variability and a developing problem. So how do you tell them apart? First, magnitude. A 20 or 30 RPM fluctuation at idle on a hot day, that's in the normal range for most 4 and 6 cylinder aircraft engines. 100 RPM drop or a rhythmic surging, that's worth paying attention to. Second, response to input. If you're carbureted and you apply a little carb heat and the roughness smooths out, you're probably just dealing with the early stages of carb ice or marginal fuel vaporization. That's the system working as designed. If the roughness doesn't respond to carb heat or mixture adjustment, now you might be looking at something mechanical, a fouled plug, a sticking valve, an exhaust leak affecting one cylinder differently than the others.
Third, context. Did this just start happening or has it always done this on hot days? Knowing your engine's personality is one of the most valuable things you can develop as a pilot owner. Every engine has its quirks. The Lycoming O360 in your Cherokee is going to behave differently from the Continental O200 in your Cessna 150, and two engines of the same model can have slightly different characters based on age, wear, and maintenance history. Let me talk about another scenario. AOPA highlighted that I think is really valuable. The descent, you've been cruising at 7,500 feet, mixture leaned for cruise, and now you're starting down. You push the nose over, pull the power back, and the engine note changes. Maybe it gets a little rough. Maybe you feel a slight vibration you didn't notice at cruise power. What's going on? Several things at once, actually. You've changed the power setting, which changes the manifold pressure and the fuel-to-air ratio. If you were properly leaned for cruise and you reduce power without enriching the mixture, you may have just shifted into a slightly lean condition at the new power setting. The engine doesn't like that and tells you so. At the same time, you're descending into denser air. More air molecules entering the induction system means the mixture is effectively leaning further unless you adjust. So the fix is straightforward. As you reduce power and descend, richen the mixture progressively. Most experienced pilots do this instinctively, but it's worth understanding the why behind the habit. There's another factor in descent that people don't always think about: cooling. You've just gone from a high power setting where the engine was producing a lot of heat to a low power setting where it's producing much less. But you've also increased your airspeed typically, which increases cooling airflow. That rapid temperature change causes differential thermal contraction in engine components. Cylinder barrels, pistons, valve guides, these parts are made of different metals with different expansion rates. As they cool at different speeds, clearances change slightly, and that can manifest as a subtle change in engine feel. This is why the operating handbook for most aircraft engines recommends against shock cooling. Not just because it's hard on the metal over time, but because in the moment, it can cause the engine to run differently than you expect. Now let me connect all of this to something practical. When should you actually be concerned? The headline doesn't tell the whole story on this one. The real takeaway isn't just that variability is normal. It's that understanding what's normal for your specific engine gives you a baseline against which to measure abnormal. And that baseline only comes from paying attention. Here's my suggestion. Next time you fly on a warm day, actually note what happens during a long taxi. What does your engine do at idle after 10 minutes on a hot ramp? What RPM does it settle at? Does it smooth out when you add a little power? Write it down if you need to. Do the same thing during descents. What happens when you pull power back from 65% to 40%? How does the engine respond? Over time, you build a mental model of your engine's normal behavior, and that mental model is what lets you catch the thing that isn't normal. The roughness that doesn't respond to mixture, the RPM drop that's bigger than usual, the vibration that wasn't there last month, those are the signals that should send you to your mechanic, not the normal variability that the system was designed to exhibit. One more thing I want to touch on, and it's something that affects everyone from student pilots to airline transport pilots flying piston twins. The mixture control is not a set-it-and-forget-it device. The engine's ideal mixture changes continuously as altitude, temperature, power setting, and even humidity shift. Pilots who actively manage their mixture throughout the flight, not just at cruise, but during taxi, climb, descent, and approach, tend to have smoother running engines, and not coincidentally, lower fuel bills and cleaner spark plugs. If you're flying a fuel-injected engine with an engine monitor, you have an incredible tool at your disposal. Watch those exhaust gas temperatures during these transitions. You'll actually see the variability we've been talking about in real time. Individual cylinders responding slightly differently as conditions change. That's normal. What you're looking for are trends and outliers. One cylinder that's consistently 50 degrees hotter or cooler than the others. A spread that's widening over time. That's data you can take to your mechanic that tells a story beyond just, it felt rough. This affects you if you fly behind a piston engine. And that's most of us in general aviation. The better you understand the thermodynamic reality of what's happening under the cowling, the better decisions you'll make about when to worry and when to just manage the system and fly the airplane. That's the broadcast for today. This one drew from AOPA's coverage on piston engine behavior, and it's the kind of foundational knowledge I think we could all use a refresher on. More at radiohanger.com. Fly well and pay attention to what your engine is telling you. Tower out.